Well, guess what? For 4 days with my family, I couldn't describe this past week what forgiveness was. I could feel it, but lo and behold, I couldn't give you a definition of it because it was all about feelings that I was having. And I think I'm a fair follower of God. I think, I feel, but I don't know what forgiveness definition is. Just let it go. Just let it go. And the reason that I opened with that is because all week I tried to find a way to share with you about this topic. And thankfully, my brother-in-law came up with a wonderful idea that says, "Tell me what's bothering you." And I said, "I read the word, I read some commentaries about the word and the topic of forgiveness, and the thing that's pricking me right now is that one of the commentaries that I read said, if you can't define and describe what forgiveness is, you probably aren't a Christ follower. What? Yeah, that's in some of the commentary that says, if you can't describe, define what forgiveness is, you are not a Christ follower. Yikes. Well, guess what? For 4 days with my family, I couldn't describe this past week what forgiveness was. I could feel it, but lo and behold, I couldn't give you a definition of it, because it was all about feelings that I was having. And I think I'm a fair follower of God. I think, I feel, but I don't know what forgiveness definition is. Hello, not Christ follower person. Thankfully, there was only one place that mentioned, be careful if you can't describe what it is. So, my brother-in-law says, what I suggest you do is just let it go. And you know, Nike tells us to just do it. Well, my brother-in-law says, just let it go. And I'm going to introduce it this morning because what I just let go of is this coat of many pockets. A coat of many pockets. Not colors, Bob, but a coat of many pockets. Here's a pocket that I've been holding on to that's filled with resentment. Here's a pocket in this coat that I've been holding on to that's anger. Here's a coat that I've been holding on to that's got a pocket of hate in it. Could this coat of many pockets do but one thing with some of those pockets that I mentioned? This coat can do nothing filled with those pockets except cause me to be pulled away from God because I'm holding on to it, because I'm processing it more than I'm just letting it go. Are you with me? It's one of those things where we need to be aware that Satan wins when we wear the many pockets in a coat that harbor unforgiveness. The one great thing that I found after, Wendy can appreciate this, Friday night's search from Ephesians 4, and then it moves into 5, it says, and listen to this, because this is the crust of where I'm taking this lesson this morning. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of. Hello, coat pocket number one. Get rid of bitterness, rage and anger, growling and slander, along with every form of malice. And then it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Satan wins yet again when the brawling and the bickering and the rage and the anger stay in the coat pocket. So going in for the next two Sundays, I want us to come in with an understanding that during the next 2 weeks, we are going to try our dead level best to take off these burdens that we've been carrying and harboring for so long, that's causing us, maybe, just maybe, not to be forgivers, not to be forgiven, not to be able to go forward, because we're still being dragged down by this big elephant that sometimes gets more than in a coat pocket. Sometimes it gets within a congregation. Thank the Lord that that's not the case in this church. But in some where every one of us have been, that could be a harboring of some of this mess that's talked about in Ephesians. So let's be about the next two lessons trying to get our arms around how to be forgivers. Postscript, pull over to the side. Many of you know I have a position in my life that means that some things we must do because they're commandments. We must do to be followers of God. We all carry those rules, those beliefs. I'm telling you right up front, you all know how much I love talking about where my soul goes after I die. We've had that lesson at least three times since I've been here. And I love it because of this example that I'm going to share with you as one reason I love it. But the real reason I love it is, if you're a follower of God, you're going to paradise. You're going to see Jesus, no doubt about it. And I'm not going to go into that lesson. But you all know that I believe that at the judgment day, God's going to take our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and He's going to say, well, so how did you do on the rest of the stuff that I ask you to do? And where's your heart? And welcome, you're going into eternity and be in heaven forever and ever and ever. I believe that forgiveness, and y'all wake up here, this is pretty much, you might want to talk to me about this one. I believe that forgiveness is not, Ron Moore, one of those issues of salvation. I believe it's one of those factors, the attributes of being a Christian. I believe that when you come into the body of Christ through baptism, I believe that you inherit the responsibility to forgive others, to love our neighbor, to seek, to teach, to baptize. I believe those are fundamental credentials of a Christian. But I also believe that if you do not forgive a person who has sinned against you, I believe that's between you and your Lord. I don't have a pay grade high enough to make that judgment that it's going to cost you your salvation. And I see people going, "You just said that?" So let's see what Sister Wanda wants to say.
Matthew 6, 14 through 15, Jesus tells us, if we don't forgive other people, he will not forgive us.
That is correct. However, Jesus Christ died on the cross. He shed his blood. Why? For our sins. And that blood and that mercy and grace continues flowing over us. Absolutely, you are right in the Matthew verse. And this is First Opinion Shack. That verse is very true. I'm sharing my belief with you that I believe that if I don't forgive Ron for not eating grits on the top of his eggs every Monday morning, I don't believe that's a salvation issue for me.
I've heard that term, it's not a salvation issue, many times.
That's why I brought it up at your
and
name.
I believe that we live for God and by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
Every word.
Every word. So as hard as revelation might be or might seem to people, they need to address it and learn about it because it's God-breathed and there's information that we can use. So I'm hesitant to say that these things are not salvation issues.
I wanted this to start because during the course of the studies, we're going to go deeper into this term of forgiveness so that you can draw your own first opinion. And you, my prayer is that you would be motivated more than ever to be a forgiver. To be a forgiver. So that we don't have to be, well, I wonder if it's a salvation issue or what. We need to do what the Matthew verse says. Forgive. We need to be what this is about. Forgive each other. Why? Because Christ first forgave us. Brothers and sisters, that's what it's all about. But I told you, this is the attention getter that says forgiveness means what? Well, before I give you the definition I finally resolved on, I want to share with you some quotes from what others think. Forgiveness is a beautiful word until you have something to forgive. Boy, that C.S. Lewis nails it, doesn't he? In a lot of ways. 9 out of 10 people I have to forgive don't think they've done anything wrong to me, says R.T. Kendall, which suggests that I too have probably hurt people without knowing it. That's a cover-all, isn't it? Next up, from 2 anonymous sources. 1, forgive others as quickly as you expect God to forgive you. That sounds like something I would say. Forgive others quickly because what? Because I want it God's way. And then next, when you choose to forgive those who've hurt you, you take away their power. Oh, my word, the coat of many pockets. When you choose to do what? Forgive those who've hurt you or you have hurt, takes away the burden, takes away their power over us. Forgiving does not mean forgetting. It means choosing to remember love instead. And from 1969, 70, 71, and 72, the words of one of the best leaders I ever served with, Jim Madison, said, "I always, always, always pray that I have eyes that see the best in people, a heart that forgives the worst, a mind that forgets the bad, and a soul that never loses faith in God." That's what I believe has made me a different person, is because this man's example was one of as a forgiver. He was a child of God. He did not preach sermons. He taught by his example. Many, many, many times he forgave second lieutenants that were dumb, and army majors that were dumber, and full colonels that had tried to walk away from God. He forgave those type of people because he believed right here what he taught. But I love it because he exampled it. All right, Stacy, get ready. Help me understand where y'all are with this term by answering, what does forgiveness mean to you? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I couldn't answer the question. What do you think? Help me. Sister Paula.
I would say when you can just forget about it and not think about it, and when you do think about it, you say, "No, Lord, I don't want to think about this. I have forgiven this person. Please help me continue to forgive." That's what I have said before.
Help me forget about it. Okay. Bob. Is it hot in here? Hey, Glenn.
Yeah, I don't know that it's necessarily forgetting about it, but I would define it as putting aside any kind of ill feelings you have towards an individual that did something against you, so that it doesn't impact you and your relationship to God. So it's something about putting aside those feelings or blotting out those feelings, kind of like our sins are blotted out. Blot out those feelings.
Forgetting, put it aside, blotting out.
I had in my mind the idea of releasing the sense of resentment or sense of debt or any kind of negative feelings that you have toward one person, with the focus being on, if you focus on the releasing part, then you're focusing more on yourself than you are on the other person.
We're getting there. All these are fantastically correct responses. I got Brother Jack.
The Lord forgives you, and you start over when you repent or when you're baptized. Problem with the human person, the Lord gave you a computer. And the computer does not forget. So the problem is controlling the computer not to re-sin by not forgiving somebody that's really damaged you.
Wow. You're nailing it, yeah.
That's the problem.
All right. Ron and Diane. I bet this is not the same answer from both of them.
Well, I think one thing it's not is condoning or justifying what the person did to you. I think it's like a pair of scissors cutting it, like you said, just cutting it loose and letting it go.
Thank you. But let her go.
And I do think, like some have said, it does seem to come up again. You'll see something on TV. Well, that's just what happened to me. You know, so it is a ongoing thing that you have to do to forgive.
I think the whole time you've been talking, it all suggests to us, as we think about it, that it is a self-addressable thing first. In other words, we need to look inside, as Jack said, and override the computer and forgive ourselves for being so dumb at times in front of others and causing them to be angry or whatever it turns out, and get ourselves straight so that we can hopefully take the power away from those that are angry at us or whatever.
He just had takeaway number one. It starts with self. And thank you for recognizing I was trying to say that early in the lesson. Monty Betts has something different than Paula said.
If someone has hurt us, done something that they shouldn't do to us, I think forgiveness is saying to ourselves, I've got to move on with life and do what I need to do. And sometimes, depending on what that event was that hurt you, and maybe it was over a period of time that you had to deal with it, but at some point, I think when the forgiveness happens, you've reached a point where you're saying, that is not going to direct my life. I'm going to move on. I'm going to do what I need to do and serve God. That's a biggie.
That's but a biggie.
I think when you get to that point, you can truly forgive this other person, if it was a person, and you can take control of your life. If you don't, that will continue eating at you. That will continue to come up and block you from doing what God wants you to do. That's kind of where I am with it.
Amen.
I'm not saying it's easy.
Okay. Brother Ray, you're next up, buddy.
I think you need need to have a heart that's willing to be able to forgive. If somebody's done you wrong, you have to automatically be ready to forgive them, because if they come to you and ask for that forgiveness, you have to be ready to give it to them immediately, like you said, quickly, because otherwise, if you have that resentment in your mind, you're not going to listen to them, and you're not going to be able to forgive. So you have to have your heart right and ready to forgive. And know that what I'm trying to say is that when they come for their repentance, like we do, that you can give it to them immediately.
And what you've nailed there is be willing to.
Right.
As Jack mentioned, as everybody's alluded to, it's not easy, is it? All right.
Mr. Shep.
Yes, ma'am.
I think that as a Christian, that's our opportunity to be a quiet example of forgiveness. It may not be out loud, but the way you treat that person that has wronged you is a perfect example of what he wants.
Thanks, Sandy. The whole idea there is be willing, be an exemplar, and be not only that, but feel it enough that you can do what's been suggested here, and that is just leave it. Move on.
Mr. Shack.
One here.
So I know we're not God, but do you think God will forgive us if we don't repent?
I do.
Even if we don't repent?
I think that you're putting yourself in a huge jeopardy by not repenting, because it's commanded, and not to repent violates a major commandment, but for me to judge, I can give you an opinion that says if we don't repent, what will God do? I have a very strong opinion that I hope I can live with, and that is, again, I'm not going to make a judgment about whether God forgives for not repenting. As a shepherd, I would say, let's talk about why you're not willing to repent. I believe that you must repent, but I'm not going to make that judgment, well, God won't forgive you. And that's not a cop-out. It's just how I try to shepherd, is here's what the Bible says, here's what I think is a commandment. You need to repent.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more that it's not your job or my job, yeah, or anybody in this room's job to judge someone specifically and judge what they're doing. However, I believe that you can read the Bible and tell what God will do and what God won't do. And I think if you are required to repent in order to be saved, then you have to repent. Now, if somebody comes to me and says, does that mean I'm going to hell? I'm going to say, I don't decide whether you go to hell or not.
Very good.
But having said that, I do think I can clearly say that if you don't repent, God says you will not go with me to heaven. You know, I've not had a problem with kind of what Wanda said and all. I think that if you don't forgive someone who asks you to repent, you know, that repents from what they've done to you, then you will not be forgiven.
Okay.
However, I've always had a more difficult time with what happens if someone sins against you and is rebellious and refuses to repent. In, you know, Luke 17, when Jesus was talking about how many times you have to forgive, he said, you know, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. The implication there is that you can rebuke him, and if he doesn't repent, you don't forgive him. Now, I'm not saying that's true, but I've had a little bit of a different attitude when it says if you're not, you know, if you don't forgive others, then you won't be forgiven. But that's, you know, the premise is that person wants to be forgiven in the first place. Now, if you hold on to anger, if you hold on to all of the other things in your jacket, then I totally agree that you're hurting yourself and you're not being Christian.
Right.
But to actually forgive them, the final act of forgiveness, not let it go, but just forgive, is that a salvation issue? I that's where I'm. I kind of think you can split it, at least yep, in my mind, into two different sides. It's yep, a salvation issue if you don't forgive others who want to be forgiven.
Yep.
It may or may not be a salvation issue if someone sins against you and doesn't want to be forgiven. They murder somebody in your family and then they say, "And I'd do it again if I had a chance." Yep. You know, do you have to forgive that person? I don't know.
That's like love your neighbor as yourself. That's a tough one for me. Yes, Ron.
While he's Ron, on his Jack. Way, Shaq, there's a couple of people. Some of our online viewers actually had something to weigh in here.
All right, weigh it in there.
All righty. So Miss Carol Restucci said her forgiveness, her definition is releasing, to be excused for your wrongdoing. And then Brother Larry Lewis says, letting go of deeply held negative feelings or anger against someone who hurt you.
Thank y'all for coming in online. I forgot to acknowledge the crowd that's up there, but that's what it's all about. When we're live streaming, we've got the capacity up there to share their thoughts. Keep them flowing. Ron.
I would say that repentance is not only a part of being becoming a Christian, so it's a starting point of your Christian life. But the same book that you're reading from, Ephesians,
yep,
is the one that Jesus addressed in Revelation, telling them to repent because they had left their first love. So as long as the church of Ephesus had existed, here's John writing to them through the guidance that he had, to repent of leaving their first love. So they must have been in existence for quite a while. It's a recurring thing, I think, that we must be a part of our lives.
Beautiful. You see the thread that's being sewn here now is we've got the belief, scripturally backed up, as to how we're defining and getting closer with this definition of forgiveness. It involves what we've just been talking about. Yes, ma'am, in the back. And by the way, if you would, I know we're getting a little short on time, but I want you to take a look at this. Forgiveness pardons, cancels the debt. It's to send away, dismiss, leave it alone. It's the release of resentment or anger. And then I'm going to come back to those two after we get this lady here. Go for it.
Hi.
Hi. Good to see you back.
Thank you. Glad to be back. I'm walking in late, so I might not be on the same path, but forgiveness is forgiveness no matter what. But something that for years as being a Christian, then you think to yourself, did I ask for forgiveness for that? You know, or you forgot that I, you know, walking around and the devil is constantly attacking you, that you did not ask for forgiveness. You know, did I stop and ask God to forgive me for that? So after marrying my husband, Craig, he does a wonderful thing when we sit down and have dinner together. And during and blessing the food afterwards, he says, "And God, please forgive us of our sins." And I'm like, I feel like I'm walking in the light, and I feel so free that the devil's not constantly attacking me.
Because he's constantly asking for forgiveness.
Yes.
And he means it.
Yes.
Stacy, help me. Stacy Myers, he's a teacher here.
You know, the scriptures teaches us that the blood of Jesus Christ continuously cleanses us from sin. So when I get a little antsy when people start talking about, I'll forgive people who ask for forgiveness. Jesus forgived us, period. And I think there are times when I do things that I shouldn't do, that Jesus forgives me of that. It's because of my heart. It's because of my life that I've committed to Him. It's not because of every time I do something I shouldn't do, I meet a, oops, I'm sorry, forgive me for that. You know, I'm amazed when I listen to prayers in our churches, because we'll have a prayer in the first of a service, and people will be, and whoever leads that prayer will ask for forgiveness of sins, and that's great. Probably appropriate. And then we go through the service, and after the service, someone leads a closing prayer, and someone says, "Forgive us of our sins since we last stood justified before you." Well, what did we do in that ensuing 30 minutes that caused us to not be justified? I think that you know, you mentioned having the heart of Jesus. You know, unless I reject Him, unless I absolve myself of any influence that He has in my life, I think what we do and how we act, if we have the heart of Jesus, I think we'll be forgiven.
Yes.
I don't think we have to run and ask for it every time. My kids and my grandkids don't run and ask me for forgiveness when they do stupid things. But I don't hold it against them. There's no resentment there. They're young. They're learning. That's the way it is. Well, we need to try to have that heart that Jesus has that continuously forgives people.
Yep.
And I think that's important.
Well said. Go up there in the crow's nest.
I think, God loves a repentant heart, and asking for forgiveness shows that repentant heart.
Thank you.
Shaq.
Lance, go.
All right, so I feel like we're talking about two different things. We're talking about forgiveness, which is somebody or something has wronged you and how you respond to that. Repentance is when either you're the one that did something wrong or someone has done, and so you're trying to reestablish that relationship.
Okay.
So forgiveness, somebody wrongs me, it doesn't matter if they ask for forgiveness from me. As a Christian, as a follower of Christ, my example is that I will forgive them.
Okay.
Because that I will release all that, as it said.
Yes.
Because we're going to be a slave to something. Whether we're going to be a slave to God and following Him, or we're going to be a slave to the world, which can include being angry, can be an unforgiving, just a hardened heart. I choose to follow God, and His example is we forgive them. Now, that doesn't mean we have to have a relationship with a person who does not choose to repent and ask you for forgiveness. I can forgive you, but I don't have to have a relationship with you until such time as we come together and have a discussion about how I was wronged and that you're repentant and that sort of thing.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. The intro, for this morning is coming to an unfortunate short close, but the participation has been pretty good, and I appreciate that. I want to kind of introduce next Sunday and close out this Sunday with a couple of analogies here. Next Sunday, I want us to take up the theme that Lance just introduced and a couple of comments that came in before that talks about the sin of unforgiveness, and also addressing what about hurt feelings? Are hurt feelings something that I need to seek the forgiveness of the Lord or the person who hurt my feelings? Are hurt feelings sinful? That's where we'll start next week, looking at, is there a difference between a sin which I need to ask for forgiveness of and a hurt feeling? Does that require that I seek forgiveness? Think about that one. Okay? The last two on the table here are where my brother-in-law and I wound up on Friday night. Forgiveness to us means letting go of some deeply held negative feelings. Deeply held. Letting go of those in a way that empowers me and you to recognize the pain that I'm suffering without letting that pain define who I am. Think about that. Forgiveness involves letting go deeply held negative feelings in a way that it empowers us to recognize the pain that we've suffered without letting that pain define us. The story is around 1972, 73, 74, time frame, I get a message from my hometown in Nesbitt, Mississippi, alerting me that some family members of mine were charging my mom and dad $20 to change light bulbs in their house. Notwithstanding that my mother and daddy were so old that they couldn't do anything but walk and sit and eat and be happy, they could not climb ladders to change light bulbs. But family members of mine that were living on our property in my house that my mother had bought from her sister for free, when asked to come help my mother and dad, the one thing that was reported to me was they were changing light bulbs and charging $20. And they were changing light bulbs about twice a month. Even in the old days, light bulbs burned longer than that, didn't they? So here we are talking this past week about forgiveness and holding resentment. I told and am telling you that up until last Friday night, I probably have let that anger and that resentment over those family members define a little corner of my heart. Isn't that disgusting? That certainly it wasn't a sin, but I let it define me because I held it for all those years. 72, 73, and 74 is a long time when you're 75 years old. Okay? He says those folks did not ask me for forgiveness.
Okay, I have this problem. Okay? Putin really bothers me. Sometimes he overtakes my mind because I'd like to punch his lights out. So he's not asked me to forgive him. And I don't know that I would forgive him if he asked me with what he's done. Okay. I mean, so this is the type of thing that, like you're saying, overtakes your mind.
Yeah.
Even though they didn't ask for forgiveness, so I don't have to forgive them, but I'm harboring this in the computer God gave me.
Yep.
And I'm being bombarded with it every day on radio, TV, whatever, newspapers. And I really don't like that man.
And Jack? Let it go.
I don't
let
know.
Let it go.
I don't know if I can let it go.
You gotta. Let it go. Thank you for sharing that. Yes, last comment.
You know, forgiveness and repentance, there's two things that always come to my mind, is that we have to humble ourselves and we have to take our pride away to have either one of those. And whether someone asks for forgiveness and you harbor and you've had that twinge, and I can totally relate to that, you have that twinge in your heart that you just can't let go. But we have to humble ourselves, and we have to let our pride go and completely turn it over to God.
Y'all have a fantastic week thinking about how much you're going to forgive this week. I love y'all. Have a great one.